I really don't have a good excuse. Just time got away from me. All right, we're in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. And I believe, didn't we finish the fourth? Yes, we did. Just a brief recap on the fourth chapter. First, second, third chapter are letters to the churches in Asia that after AD 70, and the church is already in a gross state of falling away, and it's in a red horse era. Those letters were addressing the churches that were in a red horse era or Pentecostal type state. Fourth chapter, John sees a restored church. He gets a setting and a vision of the people of God around the throne of God, which is a type of the church, and the 24 elders, which is a type of the ministry. And the ministry sees these people worshiping and honoring and glorifying God and Jesus. And so he gets a vision. You know, even though John had no doubt he had some understanding that there would be a restored church. I mean, Paul taught that, his letters to the church in Thessalonica. And John alluded to it in his letters after Paul's death. But it must have been very encouraging to him to have the Lord show him in a vision. They saw the church in the future restored. And he's actually, this is a continuation here now in the fifth chapter. I know Brother Leniger taught, the different 2,000 year periods in the book of Revelation, but I never did hear him talk too much about what 2,000 year period. Basically, he was able to see that the close of the Jewish age and the opening of the Gentile age covered two 1,000 year periods. And so I'll try to tie those together of what those time frames are. But in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, John's continuing here. It said, "Then I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who's worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God." sent forth into all the earth. By the way, that scripture is another scripture why I put those seven spirits of God as the function of God in the church, Christ in the church, and the seven and the fivefold ministry. That their eyes, their seers, their and they're sent forth into all the earth. No doubt, God's seeking to fulfill His plan and save everybody that can be saved. He sent a ministry for that purpose. And the function of God's order and the administration of the Spirit of God that spoke of in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. To me, it just becomes more and more plain that the seven spirits are. I will tell you though that I did introduce that to the brethren. I didn't get but two rejections. I didn't get any comments from anybody else. So I think, you know, maybe just listening, thinking it over. So I don't know where it'll go yet, but I intend to pursue it a little bit more because I'd like to know. I would like to adjust anything that I'm saying that might not be right. So I'd like to hear the brethren on it. I'd like for them to work on it with me and help me to. Anyway, Brother Gillespie, I don't know how many of y'all know him, but he's a really sweet minister and was part of the Convention Center Brethren when we came back together. And now, of course, we're all a part of each other. But when I said that in a meeting, I don't know, a year or two ago, he spoke up, I've never heard anybody ever say that, Brother Smith, ever, about the seven spirits of God. I said, I hadn't either. But that don't make it not true. That doesn't mean that, nobody's ever said what they were, that I've ever heard. So I said, I'm just throwing it out for consideration. It's the way I teach it. It's the way I see it. It's verse 7 said, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Here, John sees, it's pretty explanatory, he sees a book, an angel. He sees in the right hand of God. Here's one sitting on the throne, and he's got in his right hand a book that's got seven seals. Of course, these seven seals are going to be opened up for us. If you remember, the first seal is the white horse, and it goes right on down through the horses, and then the sixth seal, and then the seventh seal is opened in the eighth chapter. So we'll go through these seals, but he sees these seals are locked up. And that's why I'm saying that, in other words, the future, the understanding of God's plan in the future was sealed up until this time. Jesus even referred to at different times while he was here on the earth that there were certain things he didn't know, certain things that he hadn't been revealed to him. Said it's not, that's not mine. Different things wasn't mine to give, but it's the Father's. Or no man knoweth of the day of his returning except his Father. He didn't even know for sure when he was coming back. But after he got back in heaven, God gave him a revelation, and he sent his angel to tell John about it. And so God is revealing his coming and what the future held from the falling away of the church. And of course, that was, even though it was given, it was very difficult for anyone, I don't think anyone, came to any understanding of the book of Revelation until this last 100 years. There may have been little things, even the body of Christ. I would have to be honest in saying that we've kind of got a pig trail through the book of Revelation that we've had in the past. We, you know, like the horses, God helped us to see that. The falling away of the church. The 11th chapter also is the falling away of the church. The 12th chapter, the dragon, and there's a woman standing on the moon, clothed in the sun, a crown of 12 stars. The Lord gave us that chapter through the first probably two-thirds part of it. I remember Brother Lineker. I remember we used to all talk quite a bit on the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And because it's a great revelation, you know, I mean, there's it's a great revelation on the devil subject, the enemy. And I remember one time a preacher talking on the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. When he sat, Brother Lineker was there, and when he sat down, he told him, he said, "Brother, you need to learn to talk on things you know something about." And I thought, wow, I'm glad that wasn't me. He said, "You don't know the first thing about what you're." He just told him bluntly like that, you know. But they'd known each other for years, so still, it's kind of hard to take. But Brother Lineker didn't like it when people started talking on prophecy and they'd get way off base. You know, he was more or less considered a general prophet of the body, and he didn't like anybody messing with the things that he'd been putting out. But anyway, so it was the latter part of the 12th chapter, and I'm sure we'll get to that. Anyway, okay, so here he sees the Lamb has prevailed to loose these seals. Verse 6 says, "And behold, I lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." There's a good depiction of Christ receiving from God this the understanding of the plan of God that was to go forth from that time. "When he had taken the book, and the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You know, that's I can't help but see us in this. It's the body of Christ. And the truths that God has revealed to us of what's been unsealed in the restoration of the church, of how we have, you know, a reverence and a recognition that God's gave us a vision, and He's opened up to us His purpose and the plan of salvation in the era that we're living in and the dispensation we're in, and that God's given us foresight to what's coming into the future. That here He sees people that are recognizing that Christ has revealed and done a restoration process. You got to keep that in mind, how John, he saw the church in its waning, its falling away, and its condition. And then he gets a revelation, and it's written down, and God preserves it. Can you imagine? Here this man is on the Isle of Patmos. As far as the world's concerned, he's a nobody. He's been boiled in oil. They've tried to kill him. He's separated from civilization. God gives him a revelation. He writes it down, and God sees to it that it's added to the Bible and preserved for 2,000 years for us to understand it, because nobody understood it until these last days of the restoration process with Protestant movement. I think God's revealed some things in the book of Revelation, just glimpses into it. I don't think we've had a clear understanding of it until recent years. And they said in verse 10, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." So here's a people that understands the promise to overcomers. Here's a people that realizes that they're going to be a part of the bride. They're going to rule and reign with Christ. "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." He really, to me, what John's seeing here, he's seeing a restored church in the fourth chapter, and in the fifth chapter, he sees the seals is opened up, the rest of the revelation of God's opened up, and he sees a restored church all the way to the making up of the bride. Here's a number, and I don't have a clear explanation of this number. 10,000 times 10,000, that's 100 million, isn't it? And then thousands of thousands. Now, there's different ways of looking at that. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million, and it is also thousands of thousands. And I don't know if he's just referring back to that number, saying, and it's thousands of thousands, or if there's a thousand thousands on top of this 100 million. This is probably where brother, I've always figured, I never did ask him, or maybe one time I did maybe ask him, brother Rader, somebody asked him one time at the campground, said, how many people are going to really be in the bride, brother Rader? He said, about 100 million. Well, he sure bumped it up from 144,000. I would love for, I don't know if we have the tape, but if we do, I'd sure like to find some of the teaching. I've got a tape in Republic. I doubt seriously that it's ever been erased, but we'd have to find it. One time, Brother Leniger probably didn't come to Republic a half a dozen times after I started working with him. Wouldn't you say he didn't come. He'd come there and stop and see me and spend a day or two with me, but it wouldn't be on a church night. And he wouldn't let me call a special service for him. I'd try to get him to let me do that. Nah, he'd say, nah, we don't need to do that. He never considered himself really over the church there, over my assembly, but I considered him my elder and even a father. I worked with him enough that I just accepted the fact that he was a father to the people of God, and it wasn't hard for me to let him become another father to me. But one Wednesday night he was there. Sister Leniger was sick or wasn't feeling well, and he parked her motor home and he was there, and he came, was in church with us, and we were sitting there during the song service, and I said, Brother Leniger, I looked over him, I said, I'd like to hear you teach on the 144,000. I've heard you talk on it, on the it being 144,000 assemblies. I said, I'd like to hear that. He said, are you serious? I said, yes, I'm serious. He said, brother, there ain't very many people who let me tell that and teach that in their church. I said, well, this is a church you can teach it in, and I'd like to hear it. I'd really like to hear you on it. He said, all right, if you want to hear it, I'll preach it. That blows my mind sometimes, and not so much anymore, but that you can just ask a man to talk on something like that, and he can just get up and start rolling it off. But he did. He got up after song service and he started out with tithing, showing the 10%, and carried it all the way down, and and showed how that he equated that 144,000 as being assemblies. First time I ever heard him say that, I thought, where does he get off coming up with something like this? If you really listened to him, he had a lot to say. He had made a lot of sense out of things. And I'd like to hear that tape, or maybe there's one here that where he talked here on it. I'm sure he talked on it here. And I'd like to look into that more, because I know I didn't get it all. And I know the 144,000 in the bride, I know that's not a literal number. The best I've ever been able to do with it is to show that there's 12 tribes in Israel. The number 12 is a governmental number, and every tribe had a government. Had its own elders. There's rulers of 50s, rulers of 100s, and rulers of 1,000s in every tribe. And every tribe had a council of 12 men who were rulers over the 1,000s. And when it got into 1,000s, there was rulers over the 1,000s, but there were 12 chief men that ruled over it all in every tribe. And if you just take 12 times the 1,000s, 12 times 1,000s, 12,000 times 12 tribes is 144,000. And I just show it's a governmental group. The bride is governmental. It's not a literal number. But Brother Leninger carried it further into assemblies. I still have a hard time with that. I'll just be honest about it. I still have a hard time coming up with 144,000 churches. But, you know, when you go back to the early church and you see they had church house to house, I mean, there was 100,000 saints, according to history, in Jerusalem. And they had church house to house. I don't know how many bishops took care of them people. But, you know, if each one of them was taking care of 100, how many churches would that be, Brother Durham? 1,000 churches. And then if they were just rulers over 50s, that'd be 2,000 churches, and that's just in one city. Corinth had the Corinthian church, according to history, had about 50,000 saints. So, you know, when you get into a restored church and this thing starts multiplying, and God reaps every grain of wheat, it doesn't sound so unrealistic. So, anyway, go ahead. Yes, they're virgins. Right. Yeah, and that was a point that he made. I know that it's not a literal number. I mean, I know that somebody, in fact, mentioned in a testimony, somebody testified in the convention center and mentioned I thought I hadn't heard that in a while. You know, he mentioned out of the book of Ezra, the 2,000 some odd number, 600, 100, 160. Yes. Well, we used to teach there was like 100,000 made up back there or a little over, and about 40,000 more are going to make it down here. And those figures are there in Ezra. So, you know, we used to always think, well, we got to really strive to make it, because, you know, we ain't but a third, you know. Yeah, and so it cuts your chances down. You used to think your chances. I think you've all got an opportunity to make the bride. I think the Lord, if he made it an exact number, I think he would adjust it. If you had a heart to make it, I think he'd say, well, we got another one coming here, you know. But yeah, came out of captivity, which that's what they're 42,360. That's what we used to teach that would make the could make the bride down here. Thank God, I'm glad that we've got a greater number than that available to us now, Brother Weiniger. Thousands of thousands.
Is this another group, thousands of thousands? Like, would the first group be the bride, the rest of it be the entire church?
Yes, I mean, the way I've explained this in time past is that, well, actually, I've showed it as being the bride, all of us, the bride. Yes, because this is just a bride member group that he's talking about here. It's a restored church, and they're made kings and priests. And he doesn't go into, like in the seventh chapter, he goes into the new earth. But here, they go on saying with a loud voice, verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that live forever and ever." Okay, that finishes the fifth chapter, but here he sees a restored church, and then he sees a bride being made up. At one point, I use this 10,000 times 10,000 as the bride members that were made up in the early church, and the thousands of thousands down here. It's not a specific number, and what I said was is that it may just be referring to the 10,000 times 10,000. If you go back into the Greek, it looks like it's very possible that the 10,000 times 10,000 being thousands of thousands, that it's all one phrase and it's referring to the same number of people, which would be the bride. Let me look right here in the book of Thessalonians. Doesn't it say that where he's coming with 10,000 of his saints?
Is that,
yeah, but it's referred. Paul refers to it, I think. Let me look here. It just says with all his saints in 1 Thessalonians 3:13. There is a reference. Yeah, that's what Brother Durham was referring to. Fourteen. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s, thousands of his saints to execute judgment upon all." That's a bride number. Deuteronomy. Somebody read me Deuteronomy 33:2. Okay, a picture of the people of God going into the promised land, which is what we're talking about as far as a restored church. So, yes. Yes. Yeah. In fact, he said that that night, didn't he? Yeah. Referring to.
Now what is 10,000? Is that 10 to the third power?
Yeah. Really wouldn't be, Brother Jerry, because let's see, 10 times 10 be 100,000, times 10 be 100 million. Yeah. Okay. 10,000 times 10,000. No, 10,000 times 10,000 is 10,000 squared, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Huh?
10 to the third power would be 10,000.
10 to the third power.
10 to the third power times 10 to the third power would be 100 to the ninth power. Okay, that would be 100. I'm trying to put this, you know, plus.
I'm just as confused as y'all are. Go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how many people are in that verse right there. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, when you get to the thousands of thousands, you don't have any way of explaining it because it doesn't give a number. Thousands of thousands. Thousands of thousands.
Okay, so
you can be anything. You can take it to whatever power you want to. You got 300 billion? Brother Jerry, he's making enough room for everybody for sure. Okay. Uh-huh. Right. It even refers to at times as number that no man could number. He mentions it in that. So I do. I think it's like us saying, you know, millions. You know, or you know, it's a lot of people. You know, a gross number of people. I do think that there is some things like I'm saying about the number and the bride that it doesn't. To me, right, so far, I haven't come up with where I can see it being a literal number. But like I said, I can see a governmental number out of what I said about the 12 tribes and the 12 leaders and the rulers of thousands. That's reasonable to me, and I'll change on it if somebody give me a little more reason. Now, what we've done, the fourth and fifth chapter, after we see what happened in the falling away of the church and the letters to the churches in Asia. Then John sees a restored church in the fourth chapter, and he sees it restored all the way down to the bride being made up in the fifth chapter. And the seals, there's seven seals that's going to be opened up. Now in the sixth chapter. And I'm not going to go any further than this, but I'm just going to say in the sixth chapter, it starts off opening up the first seal. The sixth, seventh, and eighth chapter, and even continues to go on beyond that, the seven seals are going to be opened up. We're going to see one time frame after another time frame of revelation or revealing of what was going to take place in the future from that time. And so it starts out. Of course, y'all have heard the horses, so we won't, you know, spend a lot of time on the horses. But after you get past the pale horse, then I think it gets pretty interesting. It's not that it's not interesting before that, but y'all have heard all that. But anyway, so we get into the opening of the seals.
Because we go back to four beasts being I understand you right, the four signs, the four in signs, or the four, you know, the man.
Yeah, but it's not the 144,000. It's the whole, the four beasts is the body of Christ. In other words, that's those 12 tribes encamped in three tribes each on all four points, northeast, south, and west, around the throne. And there was a leading tribe, Judah, Ephraim, Dan, and what was the other one? Ephraim. I said Ephraim. Let's see. Judah, Ephraim, Dan, and Issachar. Those are the four tribes that were the leading tribes in charge of the three tribe groups around the throne. And that's just a picture of the body of Christ around the temple or the tabernacle. And the 24 elders is the Levites or the ministry, shows a ministry. Reuben, okay, yes. The picture of the tribes around the throne, it's just a picture of the body of Christ today. That Christ is the head of this. He's our high priest in the second. We've got a second and third heaven setting. Okay. No. No, it's not. They're the rule. They're the ministry here on earth. Their ministry is to perfect the saints as well as themselves. They're saints too. So there's those 24 elders. That to me, that once we get to a place of a restored church, there's where the sevenfold light's going to shine. And to me, that's that Levitical priesthood working in order with God and Christ and those seven spirits of God giving us a sevenfold light. And you mean an overall picture? Yes, an overall picture you can. The bride would, because they'll rule and reign and they're all going to be a part of the governmental number and the mouth or the word of God working with Christ. So yes, that's an overall picture. If you look at it as being a finished product, then yes, you could see that as being the bride. But actually, typically what we're looking at is a ministry here on earth that is functioning as called ministers, restoring the church, and once the church is restored, their job is to continue to perfect the saints, to bring us all the unity of the faith. Brother Mark?
Well, down in verse 10, you just referred to, it says, but 8 through 10, it sounds like it's both referring to the four beasts, because in verse 8 it says the four beasts and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, and it goes on down in verse 10, it says, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
In a restored church, see, the kingdom of God in a restored church is a kingdom of kings and priests. It's not, that's not just the bride, but I mean, right now we're rulers. We're learning to rule over the flesh. There's an order of God that flows in here from God through Christ and a ministry right into the church that causes everybody to take responsibility of the influence and the God that's in their life that has a reigning element in their life and anyone they've got influence over. And it's the function of the ministry. Look in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians where it said he gave these gifts for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's a work of the ministry. Let me get that exactly how it says that, because there's a point I'm wanting to make right there. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In other words, I think there's an inclusive, it's inclusive there, that the ministry actually works in and through the saints. In other words, all the ministry is first partakers of the fruit, and it works right into you, and their ministry works in you and out to anybody that you've got any influence over. And so it's a kingdom of priests. The kingdom of heaven is a priesthood that's flowing through everybody that's in it, and it's operating some measure of priesthood to everybody. That's why every one of us are members in particular. We're one mouthpiece, we're one body, we're one people. So it's the bride, that's not just referring to the bride, but it's the whole body of Christ. But they're all, and in a restored church, they're all to make it. I mean, the availability's there, and you won't stay very long if you don't have a heart to make it. You'd be like Ananias and Sapphira, you get booted out of here before, you know. I mean, you ain't going to play with God during a restored church where there's sevenfold light shining. Although there'll be enough mercy there to cover any dark areas of your life. All right, it's time to, the bell's going to ring here. Better go. All right, we'll take a break.